talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the party of women, my Ernie, you know what? Why do the Democrats still think they can call themselves the party of women? I mean, they can call themselves the party of transgender women, if that's what they think these men are. I guess they could say they're the party of trans women, but they're not the party of actual women, the party of real women. They might be the party of men who identify as women, and, you know, but here's the deal. Like, you do you, they can do themselves, but why would you target kids? Why would you target kids with this stuff? Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I just got a message in from Greg Franks in Billings. He says this, Tester wants to send our girls to war. This is a piece at ZeroHedge.com. Insane. Senate Democrats blasted for wanting to add women to the draft. I partly wonder if they're actually trying to tee up an easy vote for John Tester on this one so that he can pretend to be moderate here. Because if he actually voted to add women, you know, women and girls to the draft, boy, would there be pushback on that one. But then again, if he voted to do it, do you think Chuck Schumer is going to mention that in any of his campaign commercials for John Tester? Do you think any of the fake news media in Montana is going to talk about it? You think they're going to mention it? Think they're going to put it on their nightly news? They didn't put it on the nightly news when John Tester voted to allow men into girls' locker rooms. They didn't talk about it when John Tester voted to take away girls' sports opportunities and give those opportunities to men instead. They didn't put it on the evening news when John Tester voted to support the secret flights of illegal aliens being flown all across America when he voted to continue that. And the list could go on and on. So even if John Tester did take the tough vote and vote in support of forcing women and your daughters to registering for the draft and potentially being drafted in the potential World War III war that Joe Biden has us on the brink of right now, would the fake news media even say squat about it? I mean, I don't know. That's my question. But, hey, what do you want to talk about this morning? We've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. Pretty much got open phones for the next hour or so, although let me see. We may have one guest joining us around 8:40, or he may just call in and just be a caller. I'll keep you – oh, no, he's going to call in. Okay, he'll call in around 8:40, so – that's one quick frago for you for the morning. We've got a guest, great guest joining us at 8:40 from the Montana Home Builders Association. They've got some big meetings, I think, underway right now. So our friend Eigen Graf is going to join us around 8:40. But other than that, we've got the phone lines open now. We've got the phone lines open for the first half of the 9 o'clock hour. And then Governor Greg Gianforte joining us in the second half of the Freedom Friday 9 o'clock hour. So here's the deal. You'll be able to call in and talk to the governor, but you know that's going to go fast. So if you want to, in the meantime, if you have a question or a comment for the governor, send it my way on the Montana Talks app, and maybe I'll read your message live on the air when the governor's with us as well. And then you don't have to battle the phone lines, potentially. Stephen Ballantyne up after this.
Securing America.
American officials are reacting to the mutual defense agreement signed by Russia and North Korea. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder.
It is something that we're going to take seriously, and it's something that we're going to continue to monitor.
White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby on North Korea providing weapons to the Russians.
It should be a concern to anybody who thinks that supporting the people of Ukraine is an important thing to do.
Connecticut Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal and South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham are sponsoring a bill designating Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism. Senator Blumenthal.
Russia deserves to be in this small, selective club of atrocity-committing killers.
Senator Graham adding.
The best thing we could do, I think, to shape the future is to label Putin a terrorist leader, because he is.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Democracy 24.
Former President Donald Trump announced a promise to eliminate taxes on tipped income at a campaign event in Las Vegas, home to one of the country's most robust hospitality sectors, and in a state he narrowly lost in 2020 and 2016. The most recent estimates from Nevada show that one in four private sector workers have a job that relies on tips. Still, some in the hospitality industry are calling this an unserious campaign promise, saying it doesn't solve the issue at hand, making a livable wage. And this includes Nevada's largest union, the Culinary Union. Nonpartisan watchdog group, the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, warns the former president's plan could cost up to $250 billion over 10 years. In Chicago, Kelly Saberi, Fox Business.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's just start with your phone calls. Phone lines are open on this Open Lines Friday, Freedom Friday. Great to be with you back in studio. That's when a lot easier to take your phone calls when I'm back in studio. Yeah, we're out on the road yesterday, back on the road starting Monday. Man, we got a huge statewide tour kicking off Monday, so excited to take your phone calls here today. 406-294-0970. Steve in Ballantyne is first up. And Steve, it sounds like you you got a chance to hear our conversation with Governor Gianforte and Berkshire Hathaway Energy Montana with that big news they shared yesterday at the Chamber of Commerce event. Anyway, what's on your mind this morning? And thanks for calling in.
Okay. You know, I read an article in the Tidbits magazine a couple of years ago, and anytime I hear the Berkshire Hathaway name, it brings back that article. And I think a lot of people need to go pull it up and read it. And it comes to that renewable resource thing, too. Berkshire Hathaway is owned by Warren Buffett.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's absolutely no way that I'd ever list any property, anything to do with Hathaway, because we are just giving money to Warren Buffett so he can take and use it against the Republican Conservative Party. That name, after I read that article, Aaron, it's like, you gotta be kidding me. So anything to do with Berkshire Hathaway is tied into Warren Buffett. I'm sorry.
I tell you what, I know some great real estate agents who work under the Berkshire Hathaway banner, and they're locally owned, but yeah, they're part of that national outfit. You know, I also wonder, like, how many other national realtor outfits are also basically kind of run by some woke folks. I mean, take the National Realtors Association. Boy, they have pushed all sorts of woke garbage. And, you know, much to the chagrin of local real estate agents and real estate brokers, of course, but the National Realtors have just pushed this, you know, anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, all sorts of woke nonsense. And so, hopefully, these local agents are starting to demand more change from the associations that represent them.
Right. But it's a company and that he owns, and he is getting money from, even if it's an independent person that's just carrying that name for a real estate company, you know, in real estate. But it's just somewhere along the line, he is getting money from that.
Yeah, I wonder what the financial arrangement looks like. Well, then Warren Buffett's got, he owns BNSF Railway. There were some BNSF folks there yesterday. And then the Berkshire Hathaway Energy. I hadn't even heard of Berkshire Hathaway Energy until we got the news that they were making this big announcement. Maybe I'd seen it and just hadn't thought of it. But yeah, I thought, wow, that's crazy. There's another Berkshire Hathaway outfit. And what do you think of their big news yesterday about, you know, they bought out these windmills that are already in Shelby Cut Bank area, but now they're going to add solar to the equation and then some battery storage units as well.
I just don't like the name, and I'm just going to stay away from it.
That
so
dang Warren
you.
Buffett. All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 406-294-0970.
If you missed the program yesterday morning, we had the governor on. We had the president of Berkshire Hathaway Energy Montana. Big news. They're, basically doing I'll have to pull up the press release again yesterday. But, they bought out Nature Ener was the wind power company that had the that developed the wind farms near Cutbank and Shelby, got several years ago. I'm trying to think when they first developed those. But now they're adding to this, and they're adding what's being referred to as the Glacier Solar Park, a 100 megawatt solar project, and then Glacier Battery System, a 75 megawatt battery with 2 hours of energy storage. That's the part that's exciting to me, is the battery storage. Whether it's, no matter what kind of power we are producing, the ability to store power, and that to me is what's so cool, is the increased battery capabilities, and we continue to develop the technology on that front. They're also going to establish a new office and control room in Great Falls, with about, I think, 15 jobs that will be created there. So that'll be that 24/7, 365 control room that we spoke about yesterday. So, that was the big news yesterday. I don't know about you guys, but, I mean, I support all the above energy. I don't get too excited about wind or solar because, my favorite part about living in Montana is big sky, open sky. Right, so I'm kind of like Jim in Great Falls. Remember when Jim in Great Falls called in and he's like, "Man, those wind farms, they ruined the view between there you go. I should be looking at the high woods instead. I'm staring at flashing red lights or windmills." I'm kind of with Jim on that front. It's like, golly, couldn't we preserve a little more of our open sky here in Big Sky Country, and then open space, something else we all like, right? That's why you see the bumper sticker, "Cows, not condos," but now it's covered in solar panels. And it's like, isn't there somewhere else those could go? But I guess I hadn't seen the exact location where this particular solar park is going to be located. But and I know there's folks that, they're putting them on part of their private land. And, hey, that's what's going to help save the family farm or save the family ranch and help, with producer profitability. Because especially if you're getting hit by taxes and everything else and, federal government regulations, you might need that new solar farm to keep the rest of the farm in operation. So I certainly hear that. I just think we need more natural gas. We need more of the reliable energies, too.
I'm Sam Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Think President Biden and former President Trump are too old for the White House? Well, voters in North Dakota overwhelmingly adopted a plan to bar persons in their late 70s from running for the House and Senate. But there's a constitutional issue with this. The U.S. Constitution sets basic parameters, such as age and residency, for the House and Senate. It grants the House and Senate ultimate authority, deciding as to who is seated. But tacking on something like age restrictions or cognitive tests are extra constitutional and might not pass muster in court. That's why the Supreme Court ruled term limits for House and Senate members to be unconstitutional in the mid-1990s. There is also a question of the 14th Amendment, which imposes an equal protection clarence for all Americans. Justice Clarence Thomas is the only remaining member from the 1995 term limits ruling. Thomas dissented. GOP North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer, who is 64, opposed the recent ballot measure. He says the provision limits voting choices, and he called this, quote, lazy democracy. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. Yeah, during the break, I was just thinking, I was like, man, what should we talk about next? What topic should we go to next? Because there's so many things we could talk about. And then I started pulling up some of my news alerts that I hadn't got to yet this morning because I needed to get a story on our Montana Talks website, so I wasn't able to do all the other show prep that I typically do because I was trying to hurry up and rush and get a story on the website here. But I just pulled up this news alert for Kalispell. I like to see what kind of random things are being mentioned about Kalispell. And here's a headline from ABC Fox Montana. Glacier National Parks Going to the Sun Road opens to hikers and bicyclists. And then that headline reminded me, well, first off, I need to get an e-bike one of these days because I'd love to e-bike the Going to the Sun Rail. But I digress. It reminded me, we got a great message on our Montana Talks app. This came in from a listener in Columbia Falls right after the show yesterday. And this is what our listener in Columbia Falls shared with us. It's kind of a funny story. Well, maybe not so funny. I work in Kalispell at a car rental agency. Yesterday, this would have been Wednesday, had a customer come in from Virginia. And, you know, I asked him, well, what do you plan to do while you're here? She said they were spending a day in Glacier National Park and then 3 days in Whitefish campaigning for John Tester. So you got these out-of-staters flying in. They're going to go enjoy Glacier National Park, and then they're going to go campaign for this liberal Senator John Tester. And then our listener in Columbia Falls says, she then asked me if I was going to vote for Tester this fall. I told her, absolutely not. I reaffirmed I was not, nor would I ever vote for John Tester. And also would be voting for the felon. I would. I'm just wondering why we have yahoos from Virginia coming out here to try to convince us how we ought to vote. Hey, turn on the radio in parts of the state. Turn on the TV. You've got a whole bunch of yahoos from out of state trying to tell you how to vote right now. Where do you think all that? Where do you think John Tester's money is coming from? California, Silicon Valley, wokesters, Chuck Schumer. John Tester's he's the number one recipient of lobbyist cash. His whole campaign is out-of-staters telling you how to vote. His whole campaign is out-of-staters bashing Montana agriculture, bashing military veterans. But, I see they're spending a few days in Glacier National Park. Hey, maybe instead of these out-of-staters campaigning for John Tester here in Montana, they should go take a hike for a few more days. How about that? 2940970. That reminded me of another story. I told you I wanted to hurry up and get a story on our Montana Talks website because I was traveling yesterday and I'll be traveling this weekend and then on through next week. And so I wanted to get this story on our website. This is really cool news. You know, you think about small town Montana, one of the best main streets to go shopping in small town Montana is the winter ski town of Red Lodge and the summer tourist town of Red Lodge. And then, of course, agriculture there with us all year long and our other industries and small businesses. But there is now a Trump store on the main drag in Red Lodge, Montana. We've got Cynthia in Red Lodge with the Carbon County Republicans on the phone lines right now. What are we, about a half an hour away from the grand opening, huh, Cynthia?
Yeah. I just got in the store, Aaron, and we're ready to go.
It looks great.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a project. We just got on our best game once we had our... I'm having a terrible echo, so it's hard to... there we go. We're as soon as we found out that Trump was convicted, we'd kind of thought about this because a friend of ours in Virginia, he's the president of the Freedom Caucus, Shenandoah Valley Freedom Caucus, and she's part-time out here in the summer. And she sent pictures of their Trump headquarters in Shenandoah Valley. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. And the next thing you know, I'm trolling the streets in Red Lodge looking for a location and got this gentleman who has this great little house. And when he heard what we wanted to do, he jumped in and said, yeah. And he gave us rent at half of his mortgage, and he's all excited about it. And we've had a lot of great response, even just having our sign up for 2 days.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember, you know, at Rockvale, you know, halfway to Red Lodge from Billings, I remember one summer there was a guy that just put up one of those, you know, put up a table, set up a little stand, and he was killing it selling Trump gear there. And then in Belgrade a few years ago, somebody opened up a Trump store in Belgrade, and then Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP out of Whitefish, he started referring to Montana as Trump-tana. But, yeah, this this new Trump merchandise headquarters in Carbon County opens up at 9 a.m. today. I've got photos on our Montana Talks website. Tim in Savage out there on the Mondakistan border, he was wondering if you guys are selling pink hooded sweatshirts. And I did see, I don't know about a sweatshirt, but there's some pink tank tops and some other cool pink attire for the women for Trump out there, right?
Yes, there. Yeah, we've got pink attire. We don't have hoodies yet, but we have pink tanks and pink V-necks. And, yeah, we have pink. We got pink. We really want to feature candidates statewide. And if the Sheehy campaign is listening, we want to have Tim's image in this store. Tim's endorsed by Trump, and we want Tim in this store.
So, oh, that'd be cool. He's got some cool T-shirts. I've got one of his T-shirts. Well, I got it at the Stockgrowers Convention when I ran into him there. So, yeah, they got to get him in there.
Well, it's I don't think we can sell their merchandise, but we can sure push all of their signs, their bumper stickers, all statewide candidates. If you've got signs and bumper stickers, bring them down. Let us know.
Well, very cool. Well, yeah, it looks like the doors open at 9 o'clock this morning. So if you're listening to KBUL in the Red Lodge area, or, hey, you're driving the Beartooth Pass anytime soon or just going to enjoy Main Street, you can go stock up on some fresh gear to save America in 2024. Cynthia, thanks for calling in, and thanks to you and Miss Shanks down there for sharing the photographs with us. MontanaTalks.com. If you want to check it out. Hey, we got not just one caller in the Paradise Valley. We got two callers in the Paradise Valley. Willie called in first. Willie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind? Oh, hold on. I didn't hit the button. There we go. I think I got you now. Oh, hold on. Okay, Willie, go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay, I'm not hearing you, Willie. Might be losing cell coverage.
Okay, Willie, I'm not hearing you. Going once, going twice. Okay, might be breaking up. I'll have our producer, Travis, check in with you there. Next up, let's see, Mark in the Paradise Valley. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to elaborate on your broadcast yesterday. You had some individuals there with AI and how it's impacting agriculture, that sort of stuff. Montana agriculture, it's actually ag science anymore. We operate at Alpine Ag Services aerial drone precision spraying, and we utilize soil biology, a natural alternative to conventional fertilizers. And all of these items have come up within the last 10 years, and they're being implemented into the production sector as we speak. And it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Mayor Bloomberg made a statement a while back that agriculture, to be a farmer, all you have to do is plant a seed. Well, that's wrong. That might work if you're doing a garden, but if you want to produce food for feeding the population, it's agri-science, and that's where it's at.
Always has been there too, right? Yeah, no. I'm trying to think which guest it was in particular, because we had Adam Gilbertson from RDO Equipment talking about technology, drone technology, other things for road construction in particular. But I think it was maybe when we were talking about photonics and quantum science and more. Like, that's one of the. I might bring that topic up with the governor again today, because he's got unique insight in that, given his high tech business background. But basically, I mean, yeah, you look at the incredible technology that we see in Montana agriculture right now, and then it's like, well, just wait till you see what's coming with more photonics and quantum research, right?
Absolutely, and we can fly over fields and find areas where they're either nutrient deficient or hydro deficient, so that we can address and have higher yields and greater quality of yield with a higher nutritional value.
Yeah, I think Adam was kind of talking about how you can direct even some of these drone sprayers to where you can just hit weeds in this tiny little section, but then not hit the crops. And so you can be that targeted in addition to whatever, you know, spraying method you're using right now.
Yeah, we're using drones that are, they're not Chinese. These are American-made drones. And that's one of the big things that we're encouraged about is this is all homegrown technology and manufacturing.
Yeah. Man, I can hear it in the background. I think you've got some Western Meadowlarks going in the background. Sounds like you're in some great farm country right now.
It's Montana in the springtime, man.
Isn't it great? Well, and then who was I talking to? Oh, it was I think it was Todd. You know, it was Todd from the chamber who was telling me, Todd O'Hara was telling me how green and beautiful the Paradise Valley is looking right now. So we can hear it.
Well, ironically enough, I've sprayed some of their place on the O'Hara Ranch, and it's just that precision spraying.
Very cool. Hey, well, nice surprise phone call. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for joining us. And I get to see beautiful Montana out my studio windows right now, but thanks to callers like you, we get to hear it as well. And makes us feel like we're sitting there riding along with you in the pickup this morning. All right, quick break. We've got Eigen Graf talking about the big home builders meeting that's been taking place here over the past couple of days. Hey, if you missed it, on Wednesday's Montana Talks, we had Senator Steve Daines join us in the 6 o'clock hour of this show. We had Congressman Ryan Zinke with a statewide town hall meeting in the 9 o'clock hour of this show. Look, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., it's a lot. You're busy. But if you missed 1 second of that entire show, check it out. Go to the MontanaTalks.com website, click the on-demand button, or you can listen to our podcast on Spotify, on the Montana Talks app, and more.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me see if we can sneak in a call or two before Eigen Graf joins us on the program here for a few minutes. Cindy in Hungry Horse, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Love your show. So, sorry, I'll get off speaker. Anyway, every time people start talking about the Democratic Party, it drives me nuts because I don't know who reimagined that word, but they are the least democratic of all. So let's change the name and start a movement for the Deathocrat Party. Because they are for the death of babies, the death of freedom, the death of justice, the Constitution. I could go on. I have a whole list of the things they are committing murder for, too. I mean, it's just a death of everything we know as America. I mean, the death of Israel. That's what they are for. So if you want to reimagine a name, then I think it needs to be called the Deathocrat Party or the Deathocratic Party.
All that's right, or even the Autocratic, even if that one's a little much for you, you could just call them the Autocratic Party. All right, Cindy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Hey, hope to see you. I'll be in Kalispell Tuesday morning at Penco Power Products. Penco Power Products in Kalispell Tuesday morning. For a live radio show there, if you can make it down, it'd be great to see you. And then on Tuesday around noon, we're going to be doing one of our cool, fun gift card events with Americans for Prosperity Montana. We'll be at the Army Navy store in Evergreen, and then we've got our Border Patrol rally that night. Go to SecureBorderSecureMontana.com to get the details on the Border Patrol rally. But then even before the Border Patrol rally, we're going to do a fun event at the Water's Edge Winery and Bistro in Kalispell, starting around 4:45, 5 o'clock that afternoon as well, right before the Border Patrol rally. So it's going to be a fun day. So I hope to see you at one of those events, if not all of them. All right, let's see. Jeff and Polson, stand by, or if you want, call back in about 10 minutes, and we'll get you on the show. We do now have, as promised, our friend Eigen Graf now with us on the show. Great guy. Great, multi-generational generational Bozeman family, a great home builder in Bozeman, but very involved with the Southwest Montana Building Industry Association, the Montana Home Builders Association, as well as the National Association. Eigen, we were hoping to see you in Bozeman yesterday, but where were you at? Were you in Helena? Is that where you at yesterday?
No, we're having our quarterly board meeting up here in Great Falls.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Well, that's a great spot to have some meetings.
Beautiful drive up along the Missouri. I can't hate that.
I just hope you didn't end up in a merman costume at the Sip and Dip last night.
I don't know what you're talking about, Aaron. Never do that.
No idea. No idea. Well, what's the big topics of conversation? I mean, man, you know, housing and the need for more housing was, of course, the big topic at the Montana Chamber yesterday.
You know, we just got back from our national meeting in Washington, D.C., and that is still the consistent message across the country, is that the shortage of housing is anywhere from 1.5 to 4.5 million homes across the country. And we're carrying our own share of that here in Montana on our shortages, and that's, it's really hurting ability to afford houses.
Yeah. The state legislature here, well, before we get to legislative topics and questions I might have, what are the interesting conversations you're having in Great Falls? What are some of your fellow home builders saying?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because obviously everybody talks about water and the case that came out of Broadwater County. It has paralyzed rural development in Montana, and so any housing new developments that might be outside of city jurisdictions are being halted because nobody understands how to move forward. And so that's a big top of our conversation, and we're working with coalition partners on other industries to try to come up with a solution that can work for everybody.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of a conversation that David Noble was filling in for me one time, and I was actually volunteering for, you know, the great organization Warriors in Quiet Waters, which you've been a big supporter of and a board member of. And I was listening in before we went out fishing one day, just in my camper on the radio, and David made a great point. You know, he was talking about water in Bozeman. He's like, Bozeman has enough water. This idea that Bozeman doesn't have enough water is absurd. I mean, maybe we need to figure out how to store it, how to keep it in the spring, and so that we have it for the summer. But Montana does not have a shortage of water. We just send too much of it downstream. But there's ways we can figure out how to better manage water, right?
Yeah, certainly. You know, there's a lot of water in Montana. Most of the water that domestic use is being pulled from 500-year-old aquifers, and the science coming out of the Bureau of Mines is not saying that we're depleting that aquifer. And so everybody is worried about surface water from development, and the fact is that development does not use surface water the way that the emotional attacks are being portrayed. And so our message is, let's follow the science, let's listen to the science, let's see how that affects nature, you know, how people interact. And let's use the science instead of emotion.
What do you see? I mean, man, part of it depends on what happens in November in terms of the economy and potentially seeing lower interest rates down the road. That would be a huge assist to younger home buyers, for example. The Montana legislature and the governor delivered some housing reforms to get more affordable housing online. But, of course, a liberal judge put a halt to that. Your thoughts on what that means and how the industry is trying to respond without that, you know, legislation being allowed to get implemented?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be asked by the governor to sit on that housing task force and continue on the second round of it. We have a lot of ideas, and the best part about that is it brought together people from all walks of life that understand that housing is a concern right now. And so being able to look at it holistically, understanding that everybody might have to give, everybody might have to give a little for the better good. And I think everybody kind of understands that. And so when you do that, and then a judge or a group files a lawsuit against Bozeman, per se, it really hurts progress. And so that's not improving the system. It's going to hurt affordability moving forward. We have a lot of other issues too. We have a labor shortage. I work on a group called Home Builders Institute that is organized to train not just young people, but generally young people into the trades as a different option to, for your colleges, and, you know, getting people educated, understand how to work is a big problem right now, and so we're pushing pretty hard for that. We're short a million people in the industry, and we're going to continue to have labor shortages if we don't correct the system.
That's right, and I know there was a whole segment on that yesterday. My wife Jessica sat in on that at the Montana Chamber of Commerce, and so yeah, workforce issues are massive, and that comes back to education. Susie Hedlund talked about that and the need to emphasize more trades. And I told Susie how excited I am that, you know, our oldest son is doing an apprenticeship right now in the construction business before his senior year of high school. And I just think that's so cool and so smart and wise of him to take that path, frankly.
Yeah, Susie came up and addressed our group last night at dinner and said the same thing. And so we're very excited to have a partner in the state house looking for improvements on that education system for trades education.
What else? You got the microphone across Montana. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana? What do you think they need to hear? What do you think they want to hear versus what maybe they might get told from some other sources?
Housing is nonpartisan. We always talk about, you know, we support housers. People that support housing are people that we want to talk to. And so I don't see anybody now being against housing and more housing. We have some groups that, you know, it just seems like, first off, they didn't want sprawl. Now they don't want density. And so, ultimately, I don't think they want anything now that they're here, you know, typical NIMBYism. And so, I think we have to understand that people are going to come here. For the last 120 years that my family's been here, there's always been an opportunity to successfully raise your family and earn a good living. And I don't see that changing for a long time, as long as people continue to want to fight for it. It's never been easy in Montana, but we're going to continue fighting for it.
What are some of the surprising growth areas right now? Obviously, Bozeman, lots of new, smaller homes, more apartments going up. Every time I drive through, it seems like there's new housing there. But elsewhere across the state, what are you seeing with about less than a minute to go?
Well, I think with these, what you guys were reporting on yesterday, all these economic development projects around the state, Lewistown's going to have some growth, eastern Montana certainly. Billings is going to continue to grow. Bozeman's growing. Missoula's growing. It seems like everybody's growing, and it's a pretty great, you know, maybe not some of the real small rural towns, but I think they're going to start to feel some support and economic benefit from people coming into their towns, too, because ultimately I think most people are coming here for good reasons. There's always a little bit of bad with everybody, but ultimately people want to come here and be part of Montana.
Yeah.
And we've always been a welcoming place. And we should continue to be that.
I'll tell you, I just met another great group of, you know, veterans and entrepreneurs that, you know, they got out of the military and they wanted to retire back here in Montana. Just remarkable individuals, remarkable families. Eigen Graf, great to have you. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Thanks for calling in.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
My advice to Joe Biden would be to take a lot of Red Bull. Let's put it this way. Whatever Joe is drinking, eating, taking before the State of the Union, I would expect he's going to be drinking, eating, and taking before this debate. He's going to have to if he wants to survive. And that's where he actually is. It is really sick to watch and read some of the madness that is going on with the radical left today, but it's happening. You know, National Review had a report out today. The Democratic Party's anti-Trump, quote, resistance movement is already making plans to block any attempt by law enforcement to quell anti-Trump riots if Donald Trump wins the election. You got to be kidding.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-9862. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-9862. That's 800-575-9862. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The national economy has been through one of the most violent, rapid, down-up cycles in economic growth in our modern history. That cycle is largely over. Growth will be more moderate and more stable going forward. But what would that tumultuous experience leave behind? Higher interest rates, for one thing. Higher rates, that is. Actually, today's rates are not high by historical standards, but certainly higher than the extremely low rates that prevailed before COVID. And we have higher inflation. It's come down to just above 3%, which is a lot better than 6-plus percent of a year ago. Maybe the Federal Reserve will get it lower. Some changes have not stuck. The surge in e-commerce, for instance, that peaked at 60% of all retail sales in the teeth of the pandemic, has settled back down to its pre-COVID trend. But working from home is here to stay, apparently. After peaking at 60% at one point, the stunning truth is that 28% of all days worked in the national economy are remote. I'm Patrick Buckley.
Brought to you. Intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Tax fees may apply.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
By the way, you got to see one of the photographs from the Trump merchandise store that's going to be open in 6 minutes in Red Lodge, Montana. It's a big flag with Donald J. Trump, big American flag, got Donald J. Trump's photo, Never Surrender underneath it. So some good stuff there at the Trump merchandise store about to open here in about 5-6 minutes in Red Lodge. In about 5-6 minutes, we'll be in our national news update, and then we'll be kicking off the show in the 9 o'clock hour. So let's jump right into the phone lines. Jeff in Polson. Hey, thanks for staying on the phone lines. What's on your mind this morning?
And my privilege, Aaron. Warren Buffett never does anything, goes into any business without really understanding it. And as a consequence, you always got to wonder, what's his angle? And with buying up the wind farm and adding solar to it, I don't know how many people are aware of the fact that there are things out there, credits paid by the government to folks who own those, investment tax credits and production tax credits on wind, solar, hydro, all sorts of anything that can be considered renewable. And those production tax credits in particular add up to hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars per megawatt hour. And that's if they don't sell it to anybody. They can make up to, I did a quick calculation, and even if it's not connected to the grid, if it's producing 100 megawatts an hour, that solar farm up there, that would be $30,000 an hour that they would be earning even without having to sell any electricity. So the reason Warren Buffett likes it is it's a sure deal. How can you lose money if the government's paying you to produce electricity even if it's not going anywhere?
Yeah, like all these, yeah. Well, and somebody in the Shelby area could probably fill us in too, because if I recall, weren't there like massive tax breaks even at the local county level, you know, property tax breaks for these wind power companies to go in and set up shop? And it's like, well, why don't we, the people, get those tax breaks, especially when it comes to property taxes, right? And so it'd be really interesting. I'll bet somebody like Brad Molnar, one of these PSC commissioners, could tally, you know, Jim Brown could tally up the real cost of what these wind farms actually cost, right? And then now let's compare it with these other sources of energy that are out there. I guess I didn't get a chance to hear it, but I guess yesterday, Mr. Bird, I can't remember if that's his right first name, Mr. Bird, the CEO of Northwestern Energy, I just saw him in Colstrip a couple weeks ago. Somebody asked him, you know, about the retirement of Colstrip, and he says, look, at some point it will retire. Like, at some point these plants will retire, right? Like, but there should not be a forced early retirement, which is what the Democrats are trying to do. But they asked him, well, eventually when that retirement does have to happen, if you could choose, if you could pick, what would you replace it with? And apparently his response was these smaller scale, like micro reactors, these nuclear reactors, similar to what's going in Wyoming. And you know, for these radical environmentalists, that's the real answer if they actually care about CO2 emissions and everything else. But of course, they'll figure out a way to oppose that type of energy as well. They're just against everything. They're big business, these environmental groups are.
You've got it exactly right. Nuclear is the way to go. If you look at it, nobody died from Three Mile Island. Fukushima was caused by a typhoon, of all things, and it's because they built it too close to the coast and relied on diesel generators for backup power that had been swamped out and couldn't run. I mean, there were a bunch of critical design failures, but the last time I looked, Colstrip's pretty secure from a typhoon. A snowstorm might get it. So, you know, there's a bunch of people, as you say, who are violently opposed to nuclear, but all because of, you know, using nuclear weapons and that sort of thing. And that's not what happens with these. They have to understand,
yeah,
that, you know.
Yeah, the technology is different. All right, sorry to cut it short there. Jeff, great to hear from you. Yeah, by the way, Colstrip, actually, there was once upon a time where maybe you could have had a typhoon in Colstrip because it was covered by an ocean. You know, that whole climate changey thing that's been changing for quite some time before man. Anyway.